Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is it. The time has come.
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
Push him down.
Get in the ring and go the distance with Fight Night with Adam Catterall.
You're better than that.
On TalkSport.
Welcome to the Fight Night Extra Podcast. I'm Adam Catterall. Pleasure as always to be in your company. And we are currently situated outside the T-Mobile Arena where the grand arrivals have just happened. And what that is, just in case you don't know, is where both fighters are welcomed to the arena that they will be fighting in come the weekend. And at the weekend, they will be in front of, hopefully, a sellout packed crowd at the T-Mobile Arena here at Las Vegas, where you are going to hear that all play out live on Talk Sports. With me, our commentator for the evening, Andy Clark. We've also got Gareth A. Davies alongside me as well. And I'll start with you, Gareth, actually, because where we are currently sat, we're sat in the press bit just outside the T-Mobile Arena. The Gypsy King himself, Tyson Fury, is still talking to various members of the press row and the YouTubers that make plenty of content surrounding this fight. What did you make of what you've just witnessed? Because if we're really honest, as grand arrivals go, I actually thought the event was a bit bizarre compared to what we experienced last time at the MGM for round two between these two gents.
It was raucous last time. It was an absolute festival of noise. And there are no fans here today, which is unusual, but a big media turnout. So there was a subdued nature about it all. I think both men were very impressive. Deontay Wilder's very serious. This is his defining moment. He had a little huddle with us all before he walked off. He says this is a defining moment of his career and maybe the defining moment of his life, because he wants to fight for the Undisputed title next against Alexander Usyk. He's made that absolutely clean and clear. And Tyson Fury is in jovial mood, as he always is when he gets up on a stage, being an entertainer. He didn't take it too seriously. Both men are saying they're going to go at it hammer and tongs. Like you say, we're having a big fight here with Nevada, the governor of Nevada, making everyone wear masks, not encouraging people to go into big groups. And that's why we haven't got fans here today. Mm. They didn't really invite the fans in that sense.
Mm. Andy, what have you made of both guys that you've seen so far this week? Because we got a wonderful day yesterday with Tyson Fury, where he comes and speaks to the British media. You've already heard that as part of this Fight Night podcast sequence. If you haven't, make sure you're subscribing, because you'll get to hear Tyson Fury in all his glory, so to speak. I say that because he did the interview in his dressing gown. But Deontay Wilder's refused to have a day like that, where he spends time with the media and he answers the questions that we've all got for him, and we've got plenty. What have you made of that decision from him?
I think it's slightly odd, because the way he went about things today, I think if you're going to go down that route of not really giving your normal press day, then I would have expected him to have kind of carried that forward into today and have fully embraced that kind of siege mentality, that us against the world kind of approach that people often take when they feel that somehow they've been wronged by people, because that is how he feels with regard to us, doesn't he? That we've ridiculed him a bit for the excuses that he came up with following the second fight, following the defeat. And I think, honestly, rightly so, that he's been ridiculed for it, because it's utterly absurd, the things that he's come out with. I think if you're going to go down that road, then go down it all the way. And today he came and he was very civil. He was asked a difficult question by our man here, Tim Witherspoon, as to basically was he qualified to choose his new trainer? Did he have sufficient boxing knowledge to choose his own trainer, which got his hackles up a little bit? But other than that, he was quite relaxed. Kind of mixed messages, really. He cannot afford to have any mixed messages on Saturday.
But we should be clear as well, Ed. Tim Witherspoon's joined us, of course. That we should be clear as well that one of the reasons why he took umbrage with the British media is that he gave Tyson Fury an opportunity to fight him when he came back from the wilderness, and he was very upset about the fact that he was being denied his contractual rematch, and that's hurt him as well, I think.
And that is fair. Listen, I'm not going to get into rematches and what have you, my particular thoughts on whether certain rematches should happen or not. As you've just rightly said, Tim Witherspoon has joined us. And Tim, you did tackle Deontay Wilder when he came to the stage. What have you made of, first of all, Deontay's reaction to the loss last time, the way that he has responded publicly, making the excuses that he's made since Tyson Fury took care of him last February?
Okay, well, that showed me that he doesn't have a lot of experienced people around him to tell him to don't say things like this. You know, my management and trainer always told me, you know, certain things you say can make it even worse. So it made it worse to me for him to keep complaining like that. He should have just kept his mouth closed and trained real hard and just came back, you know. But for him to go on like that made it really bad. So I don't think that I think that boxers should have credible people around them to help them decide what to say after a fight and before the fight when they're having interviews like we're doing now. So, well, because you might say something that really will make you look bad. So,
but if he wins on Saturday night, Tim, all is forgiven.
Yeah, but in the future, right? Okay, he win Friday, but he still might run into brick walls down the line. There might be somebody else.
But maybe he has a mentality that he cannot accept a loss, and that is just his mentality.
You're talking about Deontay Wilder.
I am talking about Deontay Wilder.
Okay, and if confidence in his trainer and his management, I don't think he really have it. He stated that he got a new trainer. He's got new people behind him. But we got to wait and see when he step into that ring.
Exactly.
Really, yeah.
Exactly.
We got to wait and see.
You've been here, done it, got the T-shirt, and you have faced off against many a heavyweight in your career. What did you make of what you've just seen from both guys? They've not faced off. We saw them individually. We'll see a face-off later on in the week. But what did you make body language-wise? Are you reading anything at this stage early in fight week?
Well, I think that Deontay Wilder was really aggressive and really really confident. I think when I started to question him about the trainer, it seemed like he backed off a little bit. You know, and I don't know why it seemed like he backed off, because I was asking him a real question. So I kind of think that it bothered him a little bit. I felt kind of bad, but I was asking him a real straight up question. How can he decide whether to get what kind of trainer to get when he really lacks skills? He don't know himself. The same thing with Anthony Joshua. Joshua, he's saying things that he shouldn't be saying also.
Lacks confidence.
And he lacks confidence, yeah. And he needs somebody to show him skills so he can speak like he's a king, speak like he's going to be a champ, and have a lot of confidence, but he don't. And when he talk and everything, he don't have confidence. So he needs somebody to teach him some stuff so he know when he get in the ring, he's not going to get hit. The only way they're going to hit him unless he let them hit them. You know, that kind of confidence. So the management and promoters today, they're not living up to what they're supposed to be. My manager would have got rid of a trainer right straight and got to the problem right away. They're not doing that these days. They're thinking of big money, which is okay, but they're not really thinking about the boxer.
Can I just drag us all back a tiny bit, given this is our first podcast of the week, the first time the four of us are working together this week, and just say there's been four amazing trilogies in the history of the heavyweight division. Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, which is the one above all others. Muhammad Ali and Ken Norton. Ingemar Johansson and Floyd Patterson. Okay. 14 rounds in between those three. They were down like 14 times in those three fights. And the other one, Riddick Bowe and Evander Holyfield, of course. In the history of the heavyweight division, when we look back on this week, it's a massive fight for the narrative of the division right now, isn't it? It's a big, big moment for both of these men and for what's going to happen for all of us in the next couple of years.
One thing that did come out of that, I mean, as I've said on several occasions, Deontay Wilder hasn't spoken to us in a one-on-one situation, which is
no.
a shame. But you did get a little bit with him there, guys. Yeah. You managed to get off to the side. And one of the things that came out, you just talked about trilogies there, he confirmed that there will not be a fourth.
Yeah, this is it. This is the defining fight between them. The champion, no, they're not a fourth fight. And he said, no, I want to win the undisputed title. I want Alexander Usyk next. This is it with Tyson Fury.
Oh, what an easy fight. What an easy fight. Usyk is an easy fight. It's an easy fight.
For Wilder.
Easy fight for Wilder. Easy fight for Tyson Fury. And if Joshua get a trainer, it's going to be an easy fight for him. I'm telling you. I mean...
Put it on him, yeah?
Yeah, there's just a certain things you have to do with these southpaws to make the job easier, you know? And this was going to happen. I've been putting out little feelings, letting Joshua know. I even tried to contact him to let me help him a little bit, you know? And if he do, he'll really... I think he really will do it. But
so you're making side money now, yeah?
Oh, man. Well, you know what? I even said to them, they don't even have to pay me. Just let me show him. And I know they'll pay me later after he knocked Usyk out.
Can you go into that, what you think he should do? Just give us a tickle. Yeah. Give us a tickle of it.
Okay, so real quick. When I first started fighting, I was an amateur. When I went to the gym, there was a heavyweight named Randy Mack. He was a southpaw. They put me in with him every day for a long time. I was 20 years old. So I got a good idea about the light heavyweights. But I didn't get it until I got the trainer Slim Robinson. So everybody think you're just supposed to put your left foot on there, on the outside of your lead, of your opponent's lead, throw right hands and left hook. But they don't realize that you're supposed to, once you slip to that side, you just go back and make them turn into your punches. See, you might not know what I'm talking about, but when you go on this side, you keep going and make them turn into your punches. Into your punches, you know what I'm saying? And what I'm going to do, I got a YouTube channel, and if he don't ask me to help him, I'm going to show him on YouTube what he's supposed to be doing, and I'm going to show Usyk what he's supposed to be doing, and there's only one thing. That's stepping back. So it's difficult to show you because you don't have camera and I gotta get up and show you. So if Joshua slipped to the outside, he don't supposed to stay there. He was going to back. He was keep going back and make his opponent turn right into his punches.
Bottom line, is it a tiny adjustment?
It's a tiny adjustment, but it make a big difference. Because I was taught it and it worked every time. You was go in the back here, instead of standing here throwing punches, you slip on this side and use your feet and go back, and then you gotta turn this way. And then you're getting hit with left hooks and everything. So there's a lot that he has to learn. It'll make the job easier, and I know how to do it, I know.
Look at that. I think we're going to all learn a little bit this week, aren't we? We're working with Mr. Witherspoon. Yeah. Absolutely.
He wasn't doing it for this fight. He wasn't doing it, and he wasn't drilling the right hand so the left hook could follow up. He wasn't throwing the left hook so the right could come. And the main thing, he was staying on the inside of Usyk's right hand.
Tim Witherspoon's knocked out four people while he's been showing us that in the media rows here.
Just one thing really quickly on what you were talking about, the trilogies, Gareth. It does stand up, this one, particularly if... Imagine if Wilder wins. We'll have had that epic, epic draw, which really was just that.
It was incredible.
An unbelievable win by Fury. Yep. If Wilder manages to equalise and make it 1-1, that three-fight trilogy, that will stand up alongside anything.
They may fight again in a couple of years' time. You never know, because great fights, epic fights, make for another one sometimes, whether they both want it or not right now.
There's something about these two guys. We're going to be bringing you live on TalkSport at the weekend, so make sure you are with us throughout the whole course of the week. There'll be plenty more podcasts coming your way as well. We have got a media day coming up tomorrow. Mr. Witherspoon's going to have a microphone in his mouth, and I'm telling you something, he's going to be going for them all. He'll be asking all the hard questions, and you'll be getting it here on TalkSport, so make sure you come back. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast via iTunes and via the TalkSport website.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.